The following program is brought to you by the friends and partners of Andrew Womack Ministries, celebrating 40 years of sharing God's unconditional love and grace.
Hello, this is Andrew Womack, and we've got a very special program lined up for you today. I've gone back and taken some of my old programs that I made not very long ago, just in the last 6 months or so, but we've had the biggest response to some of these programs that we've ever had. I mean, people are just really getting their lives transformed. And so we decided, rather than just air these programs one time, and I know that there's many of you that don't watch every day, or many of you may be brand new to the program, we hated to just let these great programs go, so we're doing a best of series, and we're going to go back and resurrect some of these old programs, and I believe that they'll be a blessing to you. So open up your heart and get ready to be blessed.
Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that emphasizes God's unconditional love and grace. Today, Andrew teaches about a better way to pray. Now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Monday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today, I am continuing a series that I started 2 weeks ago talking about prayer. I've entitled this series, A Better Way to Pray. And I tell you, I've covered some very, very important things. And today we are getting to the primary purpose of prayer. This is really the heart of the teaching that I'm sharing on prayer. And I believe that this is going to be a tremendous blessing to you. And so we have this book distributed in secular bookstores, Christian bookstores, as well as through our ministry here. And I'm really excited about the potential for change in people's lives and the body of Christ as a whole through this teaching. So I've already covered a lot of material. I hadn't got time to go back through that. But let me say that today I'm getting to what is the primary purpose of prayer. I spent the first 2 weeks countering religious concepts about prayer and abuses of prayer. And I'm actually modeling this from Jesus. Because when Jesus taught on prayer in Matthew chapter 6, the very first thing he did was say, don't pray like the hypocrites pray. They love to pray. And then he talked about the wrong uses of prayer. So before he taught what prayer was, he taught what prayer was not. And basically, that's the approach that I've taken. I spent the first 2 weeks countering what I believe just religious concepts and religious tradition on the subject of prayer. And I think that that's just essential. So we've already done that. Today, we're talking about what is the real purpose of prayer? What is the main purpose, the primary purpose of prayer? And I tell you, this is going to be really simple when I say this. And some of you might miss the importance of it because it is so simple. It is so obvious. But let me just emphasize that I think that this is missed by the vast majority of people. Most people use prayer for anything and everything other than what God really intended it to be. So let me start this by just asking you a question. If you would be honest right now, and if you could be objective and not say what you think is the right thing to say, but be honest and just say, what is the primary focus of your prayer life? What do you spend the most time doing in prayer? I want you to think about that, and in your own heart, just answer that question. And you know what? If you would be like I was at one time in my life, and also like I feel most people who come to me and are asking me to pray and agree with them, if you are like the majority of the people that I minister to, then I think your answer to that question would have to be that you spend the majority of your prayer time either repenting and asking forgiveness and asking God for mercy, or you spend the majority of your time asking God to provide needs, to help you overcome something, to help you emotionally get out of some problem, to help you in a relationship, to help you in your job, to help you get a better job, to help you have more money to get things. That is what most people use prayer for. They use it either to approach the Lord as, oh God, I'm so sorry, I failed you again, and how could you love me? Or they intercede and ask God to help them get things that they feel are necessary. And that's what most people use prayer for. And let me just be real honest here and up front and say that there is a place for that type of prayer. For instance, there's many scriptures on this. But in James chapter 4, the scripture says you have not because you ask not. You ask and receive not because you ask amiss. In John chapter 16, Jesus said, "Hitherto have you asked nothing in my name. Ask and you shall receive, that your joy may be made full." There is a place to ask and petition God in prayer. And so I'm not saying that that is totally wrong. But here's what I am saying. It is wrong to make that the focus or the primary purpose of prayer. That is not what prayer is about. Prayer is not a way for you to approach God and petition Him and get your needs met primarily. That is one function of prayer. And yes, there are scriptures that talk about that. But if that is your focus in prayer, I'm going to say some things right here that I'll spend the rest of this week trying to explain. And so I really encourage you to listen and track with me through this, or either get the materials, because you may not get the full impact of what I'm saying right here without the explanation. I'll be explaining it later in the week. But if the primary purpose of prayer is for you to ask God to supply your needs, to heal your body, to give you joy, to give you peace, to heal relationships, to help you advance, to help you overcome this temptation, to repent and ask God for forgiveness for the things that you've done, if that is what your prayer life centers around, then that is one of the leading causes of defeat in your life. And I know that some people may be shocked by this and say, "Well, I just don't understand. Isn't that what prayer is for?" No. Now, that is a purpose of prayer, but it is not the primary purpose of prayer. And if you make that the focus of your prayer, if you were to take the amount of time that you pray, and if you could just have someone else listen to you, and when you pray, categorize it and write it down. All right, you spent this much time praising God and thanking Him. You spent this much time worshiping the Lord. You spent this much time interceding for others. You spent this much time asking for yourself. You spent this much time repenting. You spent this much time griping, complaining, and all of the other things that we do. If somebody else could document your prayer life and ascribe a percentage amount of time to it, I can guarantee you the majority of people would have the majority of their prayer time taking up with repenting and asking for some type of need to be met. And the only exception to this, and really it's not a different thing, it's just a little variation of it, is that if you are really spiritual, and if you are what is quote-unquote considered a mature Christian today, then the vast majority of people would spend the majority of their time not just asking for their own sins to be forgiven and their own needs to be met, but then you would become an intercessor and you would spend huge amount of time asking God to move in other people's lives and to supply their needs. And, "Oh God, forgive them," and, "Oh God, forgive this nation." That is the bulk of prayer. I know that there was a period of time in my life that this is what it was all about. And I just was constantly approaching God with my needs. It was like when you go into prayer, it's like you go into a supermarket in heaven with your little grocery cart and you are asking God to give you this and give you this, and, "Oh God, I need this." And that's what you do. It's like when you go to the store, you're there to get something. You're there to get a need met. And in a sense, that's what a lot of people do in prayer. They just go to God in prayer and it's all about, "Oh God, I have all of these needs. There is nothing that I can offer you, but you can offer me everything," and you spend your whole time petitioning God. Here's another question for you. Let me ask you this. If you would remember back about teaching that you have on prayer, what are most of the teachings on prayer entitled? It's something about how to get your prayers answered, how to receive from God, how to get God to save your mate, how to pray for revival. Did you know all of those things? And again, there is a place for those things, but every one of those things I mentioned is all about how to get God to do something. And that's what most people think prayer is all about, is a way to motivate and move God. There is a small segment of prayer that may be concerned with that, but that cannot be the primary purpose of prayer. Boy, this is very, very important what I'm saying. I'm going to take a break here because I want our announcer to share with you. We are now into the third teaching in our series on a better way to pray. And today, I'm offering this teaching on the primary purpose of prayer. It's a keeper. You need it. And so I want to encourage you to respond as our announcer gives you this information. Also, remember that we have this brand new book out entitled A Better Way to Pray. And I'll be right back to continue the gospel truth after this break.
Andrew's complete teaching titled A Better Way to Pray is available in book form for a gift of any amount. If you prefer, this teaching is available in a five-part CD album or in a DVD album recorded from television. Be sure to specify the CD album or the DVD album when you write or call. The third audio CD in this album is also available for a donation. But for those unable to send a gift, Andrew and his partners will provide this third teaching free of charge. All you need to do is request teaching TY23 titled The Primary Purpose of Prayer when you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you. And now, Gospel Truth continues.
So in our first segment, I was basically making this point that the primary purpose of prayer is not to ask God to supply your needs. It's not to repent. It's not to intercede for other people and ask God to supply their needs and repent for them and beg for an outpouring of God's Spirit. Now, if that's not the primary purpose of prayer, well, then what is it? And here's the statement I'm making that is so simple, you're going to have somebody to help you to misunderstand this. But I can guarantee you most people have not viewed this as the primary purpose of prayer. In a nutshell, I believe that the number one use of prayer, the focus, the heart of it, the vast majority of your time in prayer ought to be spent loving God, fellowshipping with God, and worshiping Him and thanking Him. It's all built around relationship, intimacy with God. Now again, that's a very simple statement. And many people are probably thinking, oh, I thought you were going to have some great revelation. That is a great revelation. That's awesome. That is wonderful. And I'm going to spend the rest of this week trying to emphasize this and going through different scriptures to prove this to you. But I'm telling you that this is not the experience of most people. Most people are not focused on God and loving Him and blessing God in their prayer life. They are instead focused on themselves. Here's another way of saying it is that most people's prayer is actually selfish. It's all about us. It's all about us getting something. We are using God as, you know, just someone who is there to meet our every need, and we pray. And if we don't get the things that we've been praying for, then we get angry and upset with God and frustrated with God and don't understand why God hasn't done things. You know, I really dislike that attitude. I have a lot of people come up to me and they are expressing bitterness or sometimes out and out anger at God because something they needed didn't get manifest. And I've had people come to me and say, I'm mad at God. I'm upset with God. Boy, I just do not relate to that at all. And I know some of you may be shocked and say, well, God's failed me. No, God's never failed anybody. I tell you, one of the reasons that people come up with attitudes like that is because you never have entered into a relationship where it's all about Him and thanksgiving to Him for the awesome things He's done for you. You really don't have a personal, intimate relationship with God, but instead you use God and you view prayer as just a way to kind of twist the arm of God and how you can make God come through, how you can make the power of God work. And your selfish attitude, your self-centeredness is totally intact. And so when something doesn't go your way, and I guarantee you, we're living in a fallen world, not where God controls everything. It doesn't mean that every problem you have in your life comes from God. But we live in a fallen world where there are going to be problems come your way. You are going to have hardships that are not ordained of God, and you can't just wish them all away, and there's going to be things happen. And if it's all about you, and if you're only thinking about, but God, I wanted this new car, and God, I want this new dress, and God, I wanted this MP3 player, and I want this DVD thing, and I wanted this mate, and I don't like this mate. I want another mate. And if your life is centered around you using God to just satisfy every whim that you've got, then you know what? You are going to have bitterness in your life. I can understand how that comes if you are a self-centered person and you aren't truly worshiping God. But you know, when you get to the place to where salvation impacts you to such a degree that you are so thankful to God for what He's done, that the primary purpose you use prayer for, the number one thing, the focus of your prayer life is just thanksgiving and worship for what He's done. When you get that attitude and you go to loving Him and you make Him your number one thing that you love, you love God more than you love yourself. You love God more than you love your house, your car, your mate, your things that you're praying for. When your love is focused on God and you have this intimate relationship with God, there's a number of things happen. One of them is that, you know what, your whole priority system just transforms. There are many of you that have this list of all of these things that you need God to do. And you know what? That list would totally change, probably be thrown in the trash if you just, first of all, loved God, not for what He did, not what He can do, all of the things that He could help you accomplish, but if you just loved Him because He is a good God. And instead of giving us what we deserve, He's provided us with forgiveness. And if you had an intimate, close relationship with God, did you know things that are so important to you right now wouldn't be important? You know, I just got back from a third world country and I saw people living in poverty. I saw people living on the dirt floor, living in ways that most people in the United States, across Europe, most of the world are living better than that. And yet I met some of those people who just were happy, loved God, excited. You know what? You don't have to have a $500,000 home. You don't have to drive a Mercedes-Benz or a Lexus to be able to be happy. You can be happy just in your personal relationship with God. And there's many people that have lost sight of that. They have become so focused. They are focused on all of the things that they're wanting and believing for and trying to get ahead and all of these things that they have lost the focus. They aren't making the main thing the main thing. That's what I'm trying to say, that prayer is not about primarily, there is a place for it, but it is not primarily about you getting your needs met. It's not about you being able to accomplish some goal. It's not about you interceding and helping other people get their needs met and accomplish goals. But the number one purpose of prayer ought to be for personal relationship with God, just hanging out with God, building relationship with Him, enjoying His presence, letting Him minister to you. And if you would make that the focus of your prayer, your whole priority system would change. Your contentment level would explode. I was just reading an article not long ago about burnout and how you can overcome burnout. And of course, this was in a secular thing that I was reading. It was a psychiatrist doing it. And they had some good points in there. But you know, I don't know how to express this. Their answers, their analysis of what the problem is so shallow. They're saying that, you know, we're under all of this stress and that we need to change our lifestyle. And they gave you these little exercises to do to cope with it. And I thought, it is just rubbish, the thing that I'm reading. If they would just get into relationship with God. And you know, if you haven't experienced what I'm talking about here, it may be hard for you to relate to what I'm saying. I may be saying things that it's just like you can't relate to this. There's no way to grab hold of it. But I'm telling you, this is my personal testimony, that when you get in the presence of God, when you are looking at God, it's like looking at the sun, and it is so bright that when you look in any other direction for a period of time there, you know, you just can't see anything. You're blinded. And in a sense, that's what happens. When you spend time in the presence of God, you just become blinded to all of the things that are bothering everybody else. You know, we used to sing in the church that I grew up in. We had a song that says, "Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in His wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace." I'm telling you that if we were to use prayer first and foremost to just love God, to worship Him, to thank Him, to tell Him how much we appreciate Him. And if we were in union and communion with God, then you know what? When somebody comes along and criticizes you over something, you wouldn't fall apart like a $2 suitcase. Because you know what? Regardless of what this person says, it doesn't matter if it's your mate or if it's your child or if it's your boss, in comparison to God, they are nothing. in comparison to God, their opinion doesn't amount to that much. Now, I'm not saying that I don't love my mate and I don't love other people and I'm not concerned about things, but I'm saying in comparison to God, it's like if you have looked at the sun, then you know what? Looking at something else, everything pales in comparison to that. If you were to use prayer not just to satisfy your needs and to get your needs met primarily, there's a place for it, but if you were to use prayer primarily to relate to God, you would be so full of the love, the joy, and the peace of God that when criticism from other people come, this comparison, it would be so obvious that it would lose its sting. It would lose its bite. You wouldn't be so bothered about whether you got the new house, the new car, whether you got this. It wouldn't matter if you were believing God for a mate and if things weren't working out in your relationship. You know what? Compared to God, God Almighty, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, loves you. And if you were to lose the person that you thought you were supposed to be with the rest of your life, you still would have God. And you know what? You could rejoice and you could still maintain your equilibrium. You could still be blessed and productive and joyful and happy even in the midst of a relationship failing. It doesn't matter what's going on in your life. When you are in the presence of God, Psalm 16:11 says, in the presence of the Lord, there is fullness of joy. At His right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. If you don't have fullness of joy, you are not enjoying the presence of the Lord. If you do not have pleasures forevermore, I mean everlasting pleasures, not just something temporary that ceases and evaporates the first little bit of trouble that comes. But I mean, if you don't have a deep, abiding joy in your life, you are not using prayer primarily to fellowship with God. You may be calling out in desperation and asking God to help, and I'm telling you, there is something wrong in our focus. Relationship with God is the number one primary purpose of prayer. Man, that's powerful. You know, I'm going to be building on this all week long, and I'm going to be sharing some things with you that I guarantee you this will change your life. This will change your focus, and the results you get out of this will be tremendous. So I encourage you to join me as we continue this on our programs tomorrow. And also listen as our announcer gives you information about the books that we have out, the book, brand new book we have out on this, our tape set, our CD set, and we're also offering a DVD set of this television teaching. So please listen, please take advantage of these programs, and then join me again tomorrow for the Gospel Truth.
Andrew's teaching titled A Better Way to Pray is available in book form for a gift of any amount to Andrew Womack Ministries. Ask for book number T321. If you prefer, A Better Way to Pray is available in a 5-part CD album or in a DVD album recorded from television. Request album T1042 when you make a donation of any amount to Andrew Womack Ministries. Be sure to specify the CD album or the DVD album when you write or call. The third audio CD in this album is also available for a donation. But for those unable to send a gift, Andrew and his partners will provide this third teaching free of charge. Our web address is www.awmi.net. Our mailing address is Andrew Womack Ministries, P.O. Box 3333, Colorado Springs, Colorado 80934. Or you can call our helpline at 719-635-1111. Remember, you can use your credit card with the helpline or the website. The ministry of Andrew Womack is supported entirely by friends and partners. Whether or not you order today's teaching materials, we want you to know your donations are a vital part of this ministry. We hope to hear from you today. We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. Mark your calendars to come meet Andrew at one of these events and let the Word of God transform your life. He'll be in Decatur, Texas on November 12th and in Fort Worth, Texas, November 13th through the 15th. He will also be in Colorado Springs, February 5th through the 7th, and in Houston, Texas, for a Gospel Truth Seminar, February 12th through the 14th.
You know, I'm really excited about coming to Europe. I've got a tour coming up in October, and I'm going to be in England. I'll be holding a meeting up in Newcastle upon Tyne. We've also got a ministers' conference that we'll be doing in Buxton, England. And then I'll be going to St. Petersburg, Russia. I'll be ministering in our Charis Bible College there, as well as a church there in St. Petersburg. I'm also going to Holland, Amsterdam, Holland, and I'll be ministering there. And I'm really excited about this. We are getting a lot of response from all of these European areas, and so it's really exciting for me to go there to minister to you, to get to meet you. So if you can, join me for one of these services.
Charis Bible College is housed in the Andrew Womack Ministries building. The school and ministry share the same vision: to change the way the body of Christ relates to God. People from all walks of life are attracted to the school for its powerful application of the Word of God and for the opportunity to participate in one of the most life-changing ministries in the world.
I wanted to knit myself in with the body of Christ. I wanted to knit myself in with people that were of like mind.
The TV program was great, but I just knew that I wanted to be in the Word 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
CBC instructors are accessible to the student body and committed to Andrew's methods for discipling tomorrow's leaders. That means classroom instruction and practical application always go hand in hand.
God is more concerned about using you than you are about God using you.
Regular daytime CBC classes are saturated with the Word of God. No one attends without seeing the Word produce radical changes in their lives.
And it's not just the 4 hours a day in school, but it's outside of the classroom too. And when we get to rehearse that and go over the things that we've been learning in class and different revelation that somebody's got, and it's just, I mean, it's almost 24 hours a day of being in the Word.
In this atmosphere of faith, lifelong friendships are formed that encourage and strengthen students long after graduation.
This school is filled with the love of God.
98% of these people here have done the same thing I've done for the same reasons, you know, because they want God and they want to know God better. And it was an immediate connection with about 200 people.
People at CBC are interested in you and interested in knowing each student and really go out of their way to meet and fellowship with all the different students, and they don't classify your age, but they want to fellowship with everybody.
Students who cannot attend morning classes can enroll in night school. Night school offers first-year curriculum and maximum flexibility with full and part-time options.
It's straight teaching, it's power-packed, it's an opportunity to know the instructors. You actually have a little bit more access to the instructors because it's a smaller group.
No matter how you choose to attend CBC, your experience will be unforgettable. CBC students find many practical ways to test what they're learning. Through personal friendships, volunteer work, or in CBC interaction groups, they put the Word of God into action in real-life situations. As they step out in faith, the Holy Spirit helps them discover their particular calling. Changing the way the body of Christ relates to God is a vision that will be achieved effortlessly through the lives of these CBC world changers. Visit our website or call our helpline for more information.